Thanks, Karen. Welcome to part two of our two-part investigative series into alleged wrongdoing in South Jacksonville's Village Hall. As we told you Wednesday, Illinois State Police spent most of 2014 talking to village officials and employees, both current and former. State Police specifically listed three allegations against former village clerk Linda Douglas on a 500-plus page report: theft, theft over $500, and other theft. Douglas was never arrested because the Attorney General's office declined to file charges after reviewing the report. The report, obtained by WLDSWEAI News through a Freedom of Information Act request, indicates Douglas was accused by former office manager Kathy Simpson and former code enforcement officer Dick Samples of pocketing cash payments when running water sewer accounts. Douglas served for more than a decade as water clerk and village clerk. Current clerk Danny Glasscock pointed out on a previous What's On Your Mind, when the two candidates appeared during the 2013 election, that the two positions were a conflict of interest. Among the highlights in our Wednesday report, when Douglas was water clerk, it's alleged she created ghost accounts and allowed water accounts to run thousands of dollars in the red without shutting them off. Current water clerk Kathy Culpepper claimed they were created to bypass the incursion of additional late fee penalties. Fire Chief David Hickox added Douglas told him the ghost accounts would hide the debt from auditors. Another account holder with a ghost account went to the South Jacksonville Police Department to complain, but Douglas was not arrested, and state police questioned Richard Evans about why. Douglas and her husband Stephen, a village trustee, were also shown to have a water account thousands of dollars in debt. Douglas allegedly received a loan during the time when she was in debt from the village, interest-free, although the village president disputes that and says it was a pay advance. We also reported that in 2012, there apparently was a major issue with the water department's security deposits. Kathy Simpson claimed there had been a six-month period where no deposits were being made. Then, on September 1st, 2012, a second FOIA request from WLDSWEAI News showed over 450 deposits entered into the system at once, with current water clerk Kathy Culpepper believing it was falsified info. Illinois State Police concluded it was possible that some cash was missing from security deposits, which were allegedly being stored in the village vault instead of deposited in the bank. When we come back here on this special edition of What's On Your Mind, we'll explore more of what's in the State Police report.
This is Mike Schneider from Heritage Health. Falls are a leading cause of injury among seniors. Oftentimes, short-term rehab is needed to recover and regain strength. There is only one choice: Restore Therapy Services. Our private rehab suites and therapy gym are matched by no other rehab provider. I'd be happy to answer your questions. Call me at 479-3400 or watch our video testimonial online. Restore Therapy Services are exclusively available at Heritage Health in Jacksonville. Restore, where your rehab and independence mean more. heritageofcare.com/Jacksonville.
Hi, this is Kai Schnitker from the First National Bank of Arnsville. We are pleased to announce the winner of our first ever Blue Diamond Community Service Award. Thanks to everyone who submitted a nomination. The recipient of the 2014 Blue Diamond Community Service Award is Karen Seibert. Karen is a resident of Jacksonville and volunteers at several local organizations. She is the board secretary at the Bob Friesen YMCA. She also serves as a board secretary and organizes meal deliveries at the New Directions Warming Shelter. Karen is an active member of Faith Lutheran Church, serving as council secretary, Sunday school teacher, and delivering doorbell dinners. Karen also volunteers for the mobile food pantry. As this year's recipient, Karen will receive a personalized award, and $100 will be donated to the charity of her choice. Once again, congratulations to Karen Seibert for delivering Blue Diamond service to our community.
First National Bank on Charles Street in Arnsville, South Main in South Jacksonville, and the corner of Massey and Morton in Jacksonville. First National Bank, Blue Diamond service from your hometown team. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is What's On Your Mind on WLDS.
Welcome back to the special edition of What's On Your Mind on the Illinois State Police report on alleged wrongdoings in Village Hall of South Jacksonville. Multiple officials told state police that Linda Douglas and her sister-in-law went into Village Hall on April 24th, 2 weeks after Douglas lost the election and shredded a massive amount of records. Mayor Gordon Jumper admitted to state police that Douglas paid her $60 for the work. Here's Glasscock talking about the alleged destruction during a village board meeting 2 days after first speaking with state police last January.
Records are not where they used to be. There's no managing of records for me. Stuff that's been cleaned out of the vault, shredded.
You have access to every file in the vault.
That
is your,
mm-hmm.
Yes, There's, and that's
for the records are.
That's what your records are.
Okay. But I don't think all of them are probably in there.
Well, I mean, that's your own opinion.
All of the village records
are stored in the vault.
Okay.
Had you asked what was shredded, I would have told you.
Okay.
We shred.
Former village code enforcement officer Dick Samples said it was between 20 and 50 large trash bags worth, and he told state police he believed Douglas was attempting to hide evidence of her alleged criminal conduct when she was water clerk. Village trustee Kim Wilson also thinks evidence may have been shredded. Kathy Simpson, the former office manager, said three employees were there when it happened.
She said that they were purging old records from the clerk's files. It was my opinion that nothing should be purged with a new clerk coming in. And if things needed purged, why hadn't they been purged for 10 years before that? But, you know, she was still the village clerk at that time.
One of the employees present was Kathy Culpepper. She says the shredding took place in the back room of Village Hall. Culpepper says she doesn't know what was shredded, but she notes a lot of documents from the vault were packed up several days before the shredding took place. The current water clerk identifies what documents were in the back room.
There was cash receipts, there was vendor files, bill registers, a lot of old stuff down there.
Jumper acknowledged the document destruction, but argued the documents destroyed were not original files.
The documents that were shredded were exactly that in the clerk's situation. They were her copies for her files and her records. The originals were maintained in the village corporate files in the vault.
WLDS WEAI News has previously reported that South Jacksonville had not submitted the necessary paperwork to legally destroy such documents since 2011, when Jumper was told by state police that Water Superintendent John Green was missing original documents that had been requested by ISP. He admitted official documents were missing and that he was disappointed to find that out. As a result, he says the village is reviewing document security.
One of the challenges we're faced with during this period of time is that we have a number of people who have access to those areas. So you can't really hold anybody accountable for them if you got five or six people or more that have access to the areas.
Actually, I can, because the village clerk, it's my understanding the way it's written, is the keeper of the records. And therefore, if those records are not kept, the onus then goes to the village clerk. And at that time, Linda Douglas was the village clerk.
Jumper then insinuated that Danny Glasscock, the new village clerk, was responsible for record management. But it should be noted that Glasscock wasn't sworn in until a week after the document destruction took place. The state police investigation shows a handwritten note from Green that indicates there are missing records from 2009 to 2013. Cash receipts, adjustments, and bill register documents. Jumper told us the document destruction, which he says Linda Douglas went to him and asked permission to do, was a matter of space, noting up to that point the village had enough storage area to maintain files. While most claims of missing documents would seem to relate to the alleged illegal shredding incident, it would appear some documents were simply removed from the vault so that they could not be accessed. Specifically, Glasscock claimed the personnel records of Linda Douglas and Police Chief Richard Evans went missing from the vault and that she should, as the records keeper, be able to access them. Glasscock alleged Douglas keeps the records in her office or locked them in a secret room in the Village Hall basement. WLDS WEAI News submitted a Freedom of Information Act request on February 20th and got a 450-page document in response at a cost of $65.55. The village told us that besides documents related to pay or certifications, all other information on the files exempt from disclosure, because they constituted a clear, unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. It should be noted that Linda Douglas and Richard Evans serve as the Freedom of Information Act officers for the village. We have begun the appeal process with the Attorney General's office on the denied personnel records. There are several details related to improper computer usage in Village Hall in the ISP investigation, including most notably what allegedly happened on June 12, 2014, several days after Linda Douglas was interviewed by Illinois State Police. It was reported South Jacksonville police officer Greg Lowe was stationed outside Village Hall that evening. Dick Samples says he went to the building and was told by the officer there was an IT guy backing up information on all the computers. Samples says that's never been done before. Another village policeman, Josh Halleck, thought the technician's presence was suspicious. He reported the incident to state police. Halleck told investigators he saw a conversation take place between Officer Lowe and Police Chief Richard Evans, as well as the technician identified as Kyle Allen with WTI when he arrived at the police department to start his shift. That evening, Officer Halleck told state police he saw Evans' patrol car parked in front of Steve Douglas' residence as he drove by later in his shift, and says Evans asked him why he was driving down that street. As part of his patrol, Halleck went to Village Hall, where he says he saw the computer technician in the area where Samples and Glasscock worked. Officer Scott Fitzgerald reportedly replaced Lowe and was told to take an external hard drive into evidence after Allen was done. Fitzgerald told state police he felt uneasy because of his knowledge of the ongoing state police investigation. Despite no mention of this being the case in the state police report, Jumper claimed the backup order stemmed from a request for information from state police. As to the fact that the backup was done at 11:30 at night, Jumper said that was necessary.
That's exactly when we have that work done, because nobody's on the system. The backups require a substantial amount of time. And in most cases, when you're doing backups, you're tying up the computers that people operate on every day. So yeah, we regularly do backups at 11:30 at night. That's exactly correct. Otherwise, you take people out of service. We can't process water bills. We can't handle payments.
We reached out to Kyle Allen, and he declined to speak to us, citing confidentiality rules. It should be noted that state police indicated to Jumper that they were having difficulty opening computer files that were submitted to them by the village. Also, former office manager Kathy Simpson says she was told Jumper immediately took her computer and put it in his office after she resigned. She was told by office workers that Linda Douglas and Gordon Jumper were in the mayor's office for hours on end looking through the computer. She believes they were deleting files and sanitizing the device. Culpepper said she changed the password to the water sewer computer because she believed Linda Douglas was logging onto it. Soon thereafter, Culpepper says Jumper told everyone in the office to provide Linda Douglas with their passwords. Simpson indicated that at some point in 2013, Jumper asked employees to give her their passwords for a repository. She says the only ones that didn't give her passwords were Richard Evans and Linda Douglas. Jumper argued to state police Simpson had all the passwords that were requested. It should also be noted that, according to Culpepper, Douglas still allegedly logs onto the water sewer computer and makes adjustments. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have more.
The University of Illinois will hold a Mushroom ID workshop Friday, March 27th from 10 till noon at the Morgan County Extension Office, 104 North Westgate. Dr. Andrew Miller, mycologist from U of I Champaign, will discuss mushroom identification from many common mushrooms found in Illinois. Also, Bree Smith of MCHD will present information for those interested in selling mushrooms at the farmer's market or other outlets. Registration is $10 per person. Please call 243-7424 by March 26th. The 37th annual West Central Boys All-Star Basketball Classic, sponsored by Country Financial, is Friday, March 27th at the JHS Bowl.
Playing for the South All-Star team, Gus Ballman of Calhoun. This 6'6 postman was a three-year starter and scored better than 1,000 points and grabbed over 750 rebounds in his varsity career. Trevor Cawthon of West Central. This sharp-shooting guard shot better than 40% from three-point land. He averaged over 10 points a game and was a two-year starter for Jeff Abel's squad. Andrew Davis of North Green, his team's leading scorer. He averaged more than 14 points a contest. This 6'1 guard was named to the All-Star tournament team at North Green.
Tickets are just $6 and are available at County Market, from your local Country Financial agents, and here at WLDS WEAI. The 37th annual All-Star Classic is Friday, March the 27th at the JHS Bowl. Pre-game contest at 7, tip-off at 7:30. Presented by Country Financial.
This is What's on Your Mind on WLDS.
Welcome back to the special edition of What's on Your Mind. Of the people interviewed by state police who were asked if there was enough evidence to arrest Linda Douglas, the former South Jacksonville Village clerk and current office manager, on various theft charges, everyone agreed there was. That includes Police Chief Richard Evans and five of the six village trustees, with Stephen Douglas, Linda's husband, not being interviewed. The Illinois Attorney General's office determined there was insufficient evidence to prosecute Douglas, but thanked ISP for a thorough investigation on December 23rd. Requests for an interview from the Attorney General's office were declined. Village trustee Kim Wilson thinks the reason officials think there's not enough evidence is because many of the issues have to deal with cash and there's no paper trail. But Jumper told media the lack of charges speaks volumes.
Honestly, I think that if they're not pressing charges, that's a pretty good indication that what we're doing here is not inappropriate.
So you don't think that taxpayers of South Jacksonville have anything to be worried about?
I think that we handle the funds of the Village of South Jacksonville in a manner that is appropriate and consistent with how we've handled them in the past. We have adequate degrees of internal control to reasonably assure that those funds get timely deposited and timely reported. We do, in fact, have separation of duties between our water and sewer and general accounting departments to reasonably assure internal control. That those matters are reviewed each year as part of our financial audit. And if there have been recommendations for change, we have generally adopted those recommendations to the extent they were feasible.
Auditors told state police that the village has failed to implement any internal controls to combat possible employee theft, and that when one person is in charge of collecting, recording, and depositing money, there is a great potential for theft. They told the village board there needs to be a segregation of duties. Regarding all the allegations listed in this story, Glasscock questioned Jumper in his capacity as village president.
We have a mayor who is CPA profession, who has his thumb on every business activity in the village, but yet continues to allow official misconduct, continues to allow security deposits that don't balance, petty cash that doesn't balance. I mean, if I'm a CPA, those things better come down to the penny. And that's the why. Why are these things not happening?
Village trustee Mike Elliott thinks Jumper should have acted on some of the allegations, such as inconsistencies in water billing and payment plans, before state police had to get involved. As we noted before, Linda Douglas was the only person state police reached out to who refused to be interviewed. She declined to be interviewed when we reached out to her. Her attorney, Rich Cruz, told our reporting partners at WICS he advised her not to comment because of a pending internal investigation by the South Jacksonville Police Department. The state police report is the first serious investigation into the village's finances. Back in June of 2013, Elliott suggested the village run a forensic audit not long after it had been brought up by Glasscock. Elliott was quoted at the time as saying the suggestion by the village clerk got a lot of the trustees thinking. 2 years later, he's still pushing for it.
I think it would be the most thorough way to do it, and it'd be the fairest way to do it, and it would be the most beneficial to the taxpayers so that they would know exactly what's happening, what their money's going for, because, you know, it's their money. And if there isn't anything wrong, I don't think it's a waste of money. I think it's we show everybody that we have a clean slate. So I don't know why. I don't really feel that it's a cost factor of why they don't want to do the forensic audit. I would think that if you don't have anything to hide, I would welcome it with open arms.
However, Gordon Jumper warned in 2013 that it would be a costly venture, and he said cuts to purchases of big ticket items like fire trucks and police cars would be made if the audit happened during a staff meeting, according to Fire Chief Dave Hickox. Jumper noted that it cost the village $20,000 in professional fees to just cooperate with state police. However, auditors told state police only 80% of their audit is correct because they weren't provided all of the necessary information. They also said there's the potential for theft by writing off debt of friends and family if it's up to one person, saying it would be advisable for the village board to vote on a policy for writing off debt. Currently, there is no internal mechanism for doing so. Last month, Jumper said the village has about $12,000 in property liens. He said those could be written off, but are maintained so that the money can be recovered. We reported that as much as one quarter of the village's water residents were delinquent. Jumper claimed in a meeting last month the village has gotten that number down to 1%. Culpepper told us the 45-day non-payment policy of shutting off the water is now being reinforced, and the practice of collecting security deposits has been shorn up. Elliott and others also argued that Gordon Jumper seems to operate with free rein as village president. Here's Elliott talking about the fact the board as a whole was kept out of the loop on the financial issues.
I would like to see a lot more transparency, you know, where the village board is involved, or at least made aware of either changes that are happening or problems that they're having, so they can have a little more input in what's going on, rather than it all being taken care of by the village president, which seems to be the current norm right now.
Elliot also criticized Jumper for running the village as his own business. Here's Jumper's response.
I'm very proud to say that I do that. I have maintained an open-door policy with all of my trustees. They are welcome to come or contact me, and in fact, I regularly contact them.
Last month, the village had 3 committee meetings in one night, which took almost 2 hours, but that bucks the trend of how things have operated since Jumper took office, according to Elliot. He says in the last 18 years, the village has gone from 6 to 3 committees.
Sometimes the committees only meet once a year. When I first was elected, we met once a month or once every 2 months. And the supervisors are advised that they don't need to talk to board members, you know, and I just don't think that's the proper way to run a municipality. The city of Jacksonville doesn't run like that. And I know that all other communities around have very active committees, and their elected officials do what they're supposed to do. That's why we're elected. I mean, if we're not going to do anything, then why do we have so many trustees?
And when we come back, we'll finish things up here on this special edition of What's on Your Mind.
This is Melissa Fairless, consumer banker with People's Bank and Trust in Waverly and Palmyra, your financial partner for a lifetime. We understand the special financial considerations during the different stages of your life, wherever you are on life's journey, preparing for college, starting a career, raising a family, or planning for retirement. Our consumer bankers have the experience and products to guide you toward your financial goals. I want to be your banker in Waverly and Palmyra, and we also have consumer bankers in 9 other locations for your convenience. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey there, West Central Illinois. It's time to play County Market Sweep. How many groceries can you jam into a shopping cart in 2 minutes? One lucky winner will find out when they play County Market Sweep. Want to get in on the fun? Chances are only $10 each. Get your $10 ticket today from County Market. Any employee of Prairie Council on Aging or at the Blue Cross Blue Shield or Diversified Crop Service offices. Winners will be drawn on Thursday, March 26th. 10 winners will receive a $40 gift card from County Market. One lucky winner will have the chance to sweep County Market. The sweep happens at 9 a.m. on Tuesday, March 31st. You'll have 2 minutes to grab all you can. Sorry, no tobacco or alcohol. Get in on the fun. Win big. Get your County Market Sweep raffle ticket today. All proceeds benefit Prairie Council on Aging Senior Nutrition Program. Questions? Call Prairie Council on Aging at 479-4619 or stop by 800 West State Street in Jacksonville and get ready to play County Market Sweep.
This is What's on Your Mind on WLDS.
Welcome back as we wrap up the second half of our special edition of What's on Your Mind, investigative series into alleged wrongdoings in Village Hall in South Jacksonville. There's an extensive report in the 500-plus page Illinois State Police document about alleged misconduct of South Jacksonville's police chief. Richard Evans is also the assistant fire chief, ESDA director, and works for the local ambulance service, in addition to other officials accusing him of double-dipping as a result of those combined job duties. State police accused Evans of multiple incidents of official misconduct. Evans admitted to investigators that he asked Officer Brian Wilson and Water Superintendent John Green to sign a petition for Linda Douglas in her re-election bid in 2013. Wilson was on duty at the time, and he told state police he did not want to sign the Douglas petition. He says he voted for Danny Glasscock, but he felt cornered into signing it. Evans, along with Green, both admitted to state police they used petty cash funds to buy lunch for their staff. Both agreed with ISP investigators that it would look bad if citizens knew that was happening. Jill Van Giesen, a former South Jacksonville Police Department administrative assistant, told us the petty cash free lunches for the police department happened about once a week. According to the state police report, Officer Rob Heaton completed certification for the LEADS system, an information database for law enforcement for other officers under the direction of Evans. Heaton told state police he wasn't comfortable with doing that and apparently told Evans so, but the chief reportedly told him to do it anyway. Evans reportedly stated he'd begin to have everyone complete the certification in the future. Van Giesen told state police Evans would work his job at Dawes Family Funeral Home and as a snowplow operator, but still claim 8 hours as police chief, and that he used his fire department radio to direct funeral traffic. She also claimed that Evans, as a private investigator for a Springfield firm, ran names through that lead system we just talked about for his private eye gig, which was confirmed by Officer Michael Broadus. Broadus also claimed Evans directed him to trace Village Trustee Steve Douglas's cell phone because Linda Douglas, his wife and former Village clerk, believed he was cheating on her. He told state police he lied to Evans and said he simply wasn't able to perform the task. Van Giesen notes the previous administrative assistant was fired for running her own personal business on eBay, but alleges that Linda Douglas and Richard Evans worked together to sell personal items using the South Jacksonville Police Department storage room as a shipping facility.
There was a table set up down there with bubble wrap, boxes, personal items of Richard's, and I know they were his. They started out in his office and went down there. Record albums, golf clubs, action figures, rings. I think there were some buttons or something down there. I also saw a handwritten note from Linda on a slip of paper that was like some printout from eBay along with those things.
Van Giesen also alleged that Evans used his Village paid cell phone to download multiple apps that were pornographic in nature. She says she discovered that after plugging his phone into her computer to sync contacts and scheduling information. Van Giesen told us that discovery made her extremely uncomfortable.
He is basically the representative, the ambassador to the McGruff program for the Village of South Jacksonville, which is an awesome program for kids in the area. I think, you know, it's unfortunate that this is the type of person that is our representative for McGruff. The type of person that's downloading these type of apps, which were many apps. It wasn't one or two or three or four apps. It was many apps. That's the type of person that is McGruff, the crime dog for the community. And I don't think that the community would want that type of person in that role.
Van Giesen believes there's enough evidence against Evans to warrant an official misconduct arrest.
I would just like to see some type of justice brought. There are many people that have lost their jobs with the Village, been forced to resign with the Village, good, hardworking people, good ethical, moral people, and because of the things that are going on with the Village, with Linda Douglas, Mayor Jumper, Richard Evans, those people have been forced out, and I think it's an unfortunate situation.
Evans was asked by state police about various other personal favors he allegedly asked on-duty officers and Village employees to do. ISP listed 4 reported incidents they said were official misconduct. He admitted to some, but said he was unclear on others. Fire Chief David Hickox told state police he believes Evans takes unfair advantage of his position as police chief, pointing out that he drove his patrol car to Springfield for a concert and to the Sangamon County Fair.
He can get away with a lot of more stuff than some of us can.
Why is that?
I don't know if it's just because he's been there so long, you know, and he does a lot of great things. I'm not sitting here, you know, trying to downgrade him. He does a lot of good things for the Village. But there's a lot of things that he's done that, as a taxpayer, not as the fire chief, as a taxpayer, I don't totally agree with.
When we first contacted Richard Evans to see if he'd go on the record with us, he indicated he wanted to talk, but also referenced the pending investigation we mentioned before as preventing him from doing so. Evans would not say who the investigation is against, but that it had been going on for quite some time. When we followed up a day later by letting Evans know there were specific allegations in the ISP report against him, he responded that he thought, quote, the mayor took care of it, end quote, and then declined to return several more phone calls. WLDSWEAI News and WICS ABC News Channel 20 went to the police station last Friday at around 12:40 and were told the chief would be back from lunch at around 1 o'clock. But then when we said we were media looking to talk to Evans, an officer at the station apparently called Evans, came back, and said he would not be back for several hours. We asked Gordon Jumper about the investigation that Douglas's attorney and Evans referred to, and he declined to comment. We again remind you that if you missed any of the two-part investigative series here on What's On Your Mind into the South Jacksonville, Illinois State Police report, you can head to the What's On Your Mind section of WLDS.com. In addition, we will have this full report in text form on our website, WLDS.com. I'm Jim McCabe, and thanks for listening here on AM 1180.